Good singing, good songs. I thought of the song that Aaliyah sings about it must have been a silent night. And all right, Ephesians chapter 1. You should have a paper that starts out at the top and says, just a note here. That'll be the page you're on. One side should say Ephesians chapter 1 verses 4. Do something. The one you'll need, it says, just a note here. That's the first bold letters in a sentence. Anybody need a paper? All right. Need a few papers up this way. Just a note here. That's where we're at. Ephesians chapter 1. Hold your hand up. Tom's coming with papers there. Cheryl, Trish, Paula. Oh, Paula's gone. All right, Paula. All right. I'm proud of you. Now, if you'd help Cheryl, I'd appreciate it. All right. Who else? Trish, Karen. Anybody else need a paper? All right. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll try to finish out the chapter tonight. And it's hard to do. There's so much. And we told you when we started that we would not rush through the scripture. And because there's so much in the scripture. Ephesians is such a great book. As we have seen the great truths of Christ in us. And it is Christ in us. If you're saved, it's Christ in you. That's one of the mysteries that Paul brought out to the church, to the early church, that it was things wasn't like they was in the Old Testament. Everything's different. It's always been by grace through faith. Salvation has always been by grace. It's undeserved. And it's always been by faith in God. It's always been like that. But it come truer, or should I say more evident, when Christ died on Calvary, was buried, rose again. And then the Holy Spirit came and went in the Old Testament. He came and went in the believer and moved upon them to do the work. There was not an indwelling like there was after the resurrection. And made a complete difference when the Holy Spirit came. Just a thought before we pray here. And in Bethlehem, Christ came to us in Bethlehem. Everybody understand that? At Calvary, Christ died for us. And then at Pentecost, Christ come in us. Right? And this is, it's all new. It's all new. Think about that. Now, Christ came for us in Bethlehem. That's why we're celebrating Christmas, all right? He's the Messiah. He's God, Emmanuel, God with us. Before he would appear, but when he came in Bethlehem, it was going to be God with us forever. All right, think about that. And then at Calvary, he died for us. He came to us, then died for us. He died for every man. Now, if you think of the places, maybe it'll help you remember that. Bethlehem, he came to us. Calvary, he came, actually died for us. And then at Pentecost, he came in us. And every believer, it has nothing to do with how you live, what you've done, how much works you have, how good you are. Every believer, Christ comes in. Right? He comes in. Now that takes care of what we're going to look at several things tonight, but I want you to understand that Christ dwells in us. Now, Clark chose a song that Christ liveth in me, and that song is a tremendous song because it is as it talks about life as a pine cone or flower, the seed of life. What's in it? He lives in us. And that does not change. That's God with us in the manger. It's God for us at the cross, but it's now it's back to God in us. Now, he is in us if you're saved. All right. Now, if you ain't saved, of course, you need saved tonight. And if you're not saved, but if you are saved, then Christ lives in you. Now, I want you to understand, you say, well, I don't deserve him. Well, none of us do. And we're not in my own merit, I'm not clean enough. But where God resides in my heart is pure and clean. He don't reside in my dirty life. He resides in his part, that empty place that he moved inside. He lives in me. This flesh didn't get saved. I still fight the flesh. We're tempted still every day with some kind of temptation. Many times we succumb to the temptation and we fail. All right? But that has nothing to do with where Christ dwells in me. Everybody understand that? Talk to me if you understand it. All right, now we're going to be looking at several things tonight. And people say, well, I just don't believe it. Well, that's still Bible. It's still true. And when you ever get a handle on it, I always think of a man I worked with years ago, back in the 80s, Abbott Cheek, a great guy, great guy. But he did not believe that you would save forever. And he had been a rounder. I mean, he had been a rough boy. And he just couldn't believe it. And he lived as tight as you could live now. And I told him, I said, someday there'll be a light come on. I said, when it does, just call me. Well, I'd been gone several years from working with him. And one night the phone rung. I said, hello. He said, light come on. I said, pardon me? He said, light come on. I said, who is this? He said, this is Abbott. He said, light come on. Just wanted you to know I'm happy. And hung up. I mean, he was so tickled he couldn't leave his standing, but he said, light come on. And that's the way it is. When the only thing better than being saved is know you're saved forever. All right? Everybody all right? Let's pray together. Father, we come this evening, and it's a joy to get to assemble in your house with the brothers and sisters, part of the body. And Lord, we come to fellowship together. We have. We come to sing together. We have. We come to sing praises to you. We have. Now, Lord, it's time to open up your word and for you to speak to our hearts and draw us and make us and mold us and move us and let us learn about you. And Lord, I can't do anything. We need the Holy Spirit to be the teacher. And Lord, you promised, and we believe it to be true, that when you come, that you would teach us all things and you would even cause us to remember these things. And Lord, we're trusting you to teach us tonight. Lord, cleanse me. Help me be the vessel that I need to be. I know that I'm a wretch. I know that. I'm filthy. Cleanse me that I might be able to handle this precious word correctly, the way you want it to be done, to bring you glory, not to magnify me in any way. But Lord, that we're on the blessed end of this thing, and you're the blesser, and we're the blessed. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us, help me to teach and be what you want me to be just now. Again, give me power. Lord, give us power to hear, power to understand, power to go forth with what you teach us. And we're going to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, quickly, we're not going to review the whole part, but we're going to start here in verse 7. That's where we're going to look at. And remember, just a note there, we'll start the first page. Been talking about predestination, several things. We looked at last week, accepted in the beloved, verse 6. But to sum everything up until this point, up and through verse 6, all right, God predestines that those sinners, that be us, who will believe, that's anybody, will be adopted as children. Everybody that believes will be adopted as children. And then everybody that believes will be conformed to the image of Christ, so that the host of heaven will praise his glorious grace for all eternity. And when we get to it, when we get in eternity, that's the one we'll be getting the praise. It won't be us. It'll be us, and all of heaven is going to praise his name, for the Lamb that was slain would receive all the glory for his suffering. And that's where it's all. It's all for the glory of him. It's all for his glory. And we look there in Romans chapter 8 and Ephesians chapter 1 already through verse 5 through 12 we done read. I'm going to start reading now at verse 6. We're going to start teaching verse 7, but I want to read verse 6 because it's such a wonderful verse. And I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter. Is everybody okay? All right, verse 6, chapter 1. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Well, me and Rick talked this morning here in my office. We was talking about how long would it really take to teach a verse? How many sermons can you get out of a verse? We talked about John 3:16 and what he told us about Henry Morehouse. This verse right here, to the praise of the glory of His grace. How long would it take us to praise the glory of His grace and tell about? We can't. Eternity. Eternity. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us. Now here's the key. Wherein He hath made us. You didn't make yourself. Wherein He hath made us, accepted in the blood. We're accepted in the blood by Christ, in Christ. It's all Christ. Okay? In Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Now, have you seen us in there anywhere other than we're on the receiving end? Everything else is what the Lord is doing. Okay? In whom we have redemption. It's by Christ. We have forgiveness by Christ. And it's according to the riches of His grace. It has nothing to do with me. All right, it's Him. It's His grace. He's given us the wonderful gift of salvation when we will simply believe. Okay. Verse 8. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now, let me stop there and remind you that I'm in Christ. And if you're saved, you're in Christ. And the people that was saved 300 years ago are in Christ. The people saved 600 years ago is in Christ. And the people that was saved after the resurrection are in Christ. And the people that will be saved next month are in Christ. The people, if the Lord tarries, the people will save 10 years from now, they'll be in Christ. We're all in Christ together. Everybody understand that? One body, one Christ, one head, one body, and there's no difference. Okay? Now we have different jobs, different functions, but the glory ain't ours. Now let's look at it. It says there in the middle of verse 10, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even where at? In Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. I've got an inheritance how? In whom? In Him. My inheritance is because I'm in Him. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. What am I predestined to be? Conformed into His image. I'm predestined to be made like Him. I shall see Him as He is, and I shall be like Him. That's what John said. And then Paul wrote to Rome, to the church of Rome, and said we was conformed into His image. It's all about Christ. Is everybody still okay? Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. There it is again. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. You got to trust Christ. You receive Christ. To many has received Him. To them gave He power to become the sons of God. It's all in Christ. Now verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. Who am I trusting? Christ. In Christ ye also trusted. In whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And that's all about Christ. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed. I was sealed in Christ after I believed. It says, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed. Everybody understand that? I was sealed in Christ after I believe, with the Holy Spirit of promise. I was sealed in Christ after I believe, with the Holy Spirit. All right, I'm still in Christ. I'm eternally saved. All right, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. We'll get to that in just a moment. But that's the down payment, if you will. Redemption will come complete when my body and soul are together, glorified with Him. Okay, but Christ in me now is my down payment that I am saved for and secure in Christ. Are we okay? That's what that earnest is. Are we still okay? Am I talking too fast? All right. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. I am the purchased possession, by the way. He bought me. I am not my own. I'm bought with a price. Precious blood of Jesus Christ. We'll look at the scripture in a moment. We still okay? Until the praise of his glory. Now I'm saved again. There it is. I'm saved before his glory. All right. Now, verse 15. Now, when we get there, I want you to look. Now, we're starting a brand new sentence in verse 15, and it goes right on through verse 23. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him, Christ, from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave to him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, let's go back to verse 7. All right, and this is still a little bit of review. We got this. We started there last week. But we continue with verse 7. We're saved by Christ for the glory of God. And that's summed up all the way down through 7, verse 12. Okay? And in Christ we have redemption through him. All right, we done looked at that in verse 7. In whom we have redemption. Is everybody still good?
Yeah.
All right, in Christ we have forgiveness of sins. In whom? In whom? Remember that, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That goes together, okay? All right, everybody still with me? All right, and it's according to the riches of his grace. It's not according to your works. It's not according to your good things. It's according to the riches of his grace. There is no works involved. Christ done the work. Now, Jesus even said, and Rick will be getting to it here in the Gospel of John. He said, you want to do works? All right, let's do works. The works of him is to believe. All right, that's what we'll find out in later on in John. If you want to do works, then the only works you can do is to believe. Okay? Because he does the work. Rick gave me a paper for me to read. It was an excerpt out of a book he's reading. And it talked about perseverance. And I am not persevering.
Right.
All right? I am preserved. I am not persevering. Christ, if anybody persevered, Christ did, because he done all the work, done everything, finished it at Calvary, and now I'm preserved in Christ because Christ liveth in me. All right? And now I'll tell you when I'll be lost. I'll tell you when I'll be lost. When Christ quits being God and God quits being God, then I'll lose my salvation. Everybody hear me? Now, if Christ ever quits being God and God quits being God, then I won't have no salvation. But that ain't gonna happen though, is it? Because see, it's not in me. It's what's in me. It's what's in me. Everybody listening to me. Now, let's continue. In Christ we have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We've done read that. Now, in Christ, remember now, all this is in Christ. Do we see in whom? In whom? In Christ? In whom? We went through the whole book and told you to mark them. In Christ, in him. In Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, all these times that it speaks of that. So we are in Christ, okay? Now, in Christ is the key. Verse 9 and 10, or 8, 9, and 10, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. See, everything is about him, his will, his pleasure. Can I remind you that God don't save you because you deserve to be saved. God forgives you for Christ's sake because Christ paid for you. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
He said, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God forgives us for Christ's sake. when God accepts us, He don't accept us because of our merit. He accepts us because we receive Christ. And it's Christ in me that He's receiving. That's why He changes me from the creature that I am. Because I'm not fit. You're not fit. That's why Christ has to come in. Is everybody still with me? Alright? Now, verse 10, 9 and 10. In Christ is the key. Now, then we have in verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Alright? Now we've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of who? That's still of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, let's just stop her just a moment. Turn over to Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I want to look at something here. Romans chapter 8. Let's start at verse 28, can we? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to what?
His purpose.
His purpose. Now I just want you to understand that we're back over here in 11. We're talking about purpose. And we're talking about His will, and all these things run together. Are we still okay? Verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now this is His purpose. This is the purpose of God for us, that He's going to make us like Christ. Alright? We're a fallen race. We're a fallen people. We rebelled against God. And He had to change that for us to be in His presence for eternity. So for us to be in His presence for eternity, then He had to satisfy His own holiness. And He was the only perfect thing. So He put on a robe of flesh to die for our sins, die for the creation with His precious perfect blood, His perfect holiness, dying for an unholy creation. Now, stay with me now. All right. And by us receiving Him, then He comes inside and then He conforms us to His image, that a holy, righteous, perfect God can dwell with a holy, righteous, perfect creation, which is a new creation in Christ Jesus. And it's all by the mighty work of His simple salvation of receiving Christ by faith. Let everybody catch me and follow me there. Now that's salvation. And God's purpose is that we then, as we are redeemed to be conformed to His image, that was His plan from the beginning, that we could give Him praise and glory because we were a fallen people. The angels give Him glory, but they're not redeemed. They are holy, and they stand around the throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." But He created a people. He created us that He knew would fall. And He knew that He would die for. And He purposed that we might sing the sinner's praise to an almighty God, an amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, that He might receive honor and glory and blessings and all that. Read it there in Revelation. That for eternity, God would get the glory for the redemption price that He paid for sinner man. You understand? It's not, listen, the benefits of being saved is we get to go to heaven. The benefits of being saved is we get to see loved ones. The benefits of heaven is we're not going to be sick. We're not going to die. We're not going to have no problems. But that's not the purpose. That's the benefit. We have took the benefits and made it the purpose. And we're trying to get glory or give others glory, but that's not the purpose. That's the benefits. The benefits of heaven is no sickness, no death, no parting, and we get to see loved ones that's gone on who are saved. That's all wonderful. But the purpose is that a fallen man, a sinner like me and you, can be clean and be perfect and start all over again and give glory to an almighty God. The one who loved us in our filth and loved us and then washed us and then cleansed us. And we can, for all eternity, give Him praise. That's the purpose. And we can't give Him perfect praise in a sinful body. So He comes inside and then conforms me and justifies me and sanctifies me and then someday will glorify me and give me a body even like unto Christ, and I shall see Him as He is and I shall be like Him and give Him perfect praise for perfect salvation that He provided. That's what all this is about. And then He just gives us some other benefits just because that's the riches of His grace. You know what? Everybody understand? I don't know if I can explain it any simpler than that. Let's look back in Romans. We're still in verse 29. We okay? I am. I'm enjoying this myself. I like these scriptures. For whom He did foreknow, verse 29, Romans 8, 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Now, what was His plan? To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified. I think I just said that, didn't I?
Yes.
What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, why would you complain? What is there to complain? It don't matter what you're going, what's there to complain about? Everybody listening to me? It don't matter if the bottom dropped out of everything. Why? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for who? No, not us. Well, you got to read it together. Us who?
Us all.
Don't forget that all. All right? How shall He not with Him also freely give what? Ain't it wonderful? That's in benefit. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Listen, it's wonderful that Christ died. If that's all He had done, we'd still be lost. It is who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this ain't got nothing to do. This ain't Him loving sinners. This is loving His saints.
Right.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Paul's writing to saved people here. Not writing to lost people. The Bible's not written to lost people. The Bible's written to saved people. There's ample information to see, get people saved. But the Bible's written to the believer.
Yeah.
And He's telling us that all this is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are we okay with that? Back to Ephesians chapter 1. We're not going to get done. But back to Ephesians chapter 1. All right? Is everybody okay?
Yeah.
Now, We're still there in the middle in Christ. We're predestined according to his purpose. All right. Let's look at John 17. I'm not trying to interfere with Rick's Sunday school later on. It'll be a while before we're there, but you'll forget what I tell you tonight. But look at John chapter 17. This is pervert talking about his purpose. All right. Now, everybody look at me tonight. I'm not belittling heaven in any way. All right. But we need to get our mind off of traditional thinking and get back to scriptural thinking. That being saved ain't just to go see dad and mom.
Right.
Amen.
Okay? Everybody understand that? It's that we be with Christ and see Christ and be with Christ. All right? So let's look here at John 17. Let's start here. Let's just start here at verse 20. Now, Jesus, this is the actual Lord's Prayer, John 17. All right? The model prayer is Our Father which art in heaven. That's a model prayer. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That's a model prayer. He's teaching them how to pray. Here, he's actually praying. This is the Lord's Prayer. John 17, verse 20 said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So it's not just for the disciples, but it's for everybody that's going to believe for the gospel that the disciples spread. We have the gospel tonight, and we have believed the gospel because of the gospel that the disciples went out through the country preaching.
Yeah.
All right? Verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Ain't that a wonderful purpose? That we're going to be one with Christ as Christ and the Father are, as the Father and the Son and the Son and the Father, then I am an heir and a joint heir, and I get the same relationship then as the Son because I am in Christ and Christ is in me. And I'm going to have glory. He's going to give me glory. I don't have none of my own, so he's going to give me glory, it says here. He's going to give me glory because he's going to glorify me. How? Because he justifies me and he sanctifies me, and then he's going to glorify me. And give me what I don't have on my own. He's going to be all but Christ, that Christ lives in me. Am I talking too fast? Are we okay? It's all because of him and him in me, and I am in him, and then Christ is in God and God's in him, and I'm hid with Christ in God, as it says in Colossians. All right. Are we still okay? I'm hid with Christ in God. Is everybody okay?
Yes,
sir. And it's all in Christ. All right. Now y'all understand why I like Ephesians and Colossians so well. Everybody's running together. Are we still okay? Now, let's go back now. Ephesians chapter 1. Where are we at here? 11, 12. Where are we at? In whom we're predestined? 11, 12. All right, now in Christ we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we start here, let's finish reading verse 11. And then also we have obtained an inheritance. Okay? Well, we gotta read about that inheritance, don't we? Let's go to Romans. We okay?
Yes.
Let's read about that inheritance over in Romans. I just want you to, you can mark these things in your Bible. Romans chapter 8, just want you to see here, verse 16, said, for the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the what?
Children
of God. And if children, then what? And heirs of who? And joint heirs with? If so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. Now see what Peter has said about it. Let's go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We still okay? We're an heir. We're a joint heir.
Yeah.
Am I talking too fast? I tend to talk fast if I get excited. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Y'all ain't never noticed that in 21 years, have you? Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Can we say that? Amen. "Which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us," or born us again, begotten us again, "unto" what? "A lively hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead." Not by just the death on the cross, but by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Okay? Now look at verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." It's there. The inheritance is reserved. We got an inheritance. Okay? Everybody still with me? All right, now let's go back. Verse 11. Ephesians 1:11. Hang with me now. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance." How? We just read it. By His mercy, by His abundant mercy, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We okay?
Yeah.
All right. "Being predestined according to the purpose of Him," we then shown you the purpose, "who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ."
Yeah.
All right, that's that we can praise Him. For trusting Christ. Trusting in Christ, He's going to get the glory. People are saved not for our glory, but for His glory. Everybody understand that? We're saved for the glory of the Son. Glory of God, not for my glory. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Alright, we heard the gospel. Alright. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, all right, we believed in Christ, we believed the gospel, and after we believed, what's it say? Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. All right? Now you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have eternal life the moment we get saved. All right. Now, anything you try to take away from that, you're taking away from the work of Christ. Christ gives eternal life. He don't give part life. He gives eternal life. All right. Now, nowhere in the scripture will it say or teach, nowhere will it teach that you have to wait till you get to heaven to see if you make it in. Because we're in Christ and Christ is in us. Now, this is why He gets the glory He gets. But this is also the mystery of Paul's trying to write to the church, that they might have joy and understand that their joy could be full and understand that it's Christ that lives in me. It's our position in Christ. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Now, so we read that in verse 13. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, sealed is a finished transaction.
Right.
Right. When you get saved, it's finished.
Right.
As far as your salvation is concerned.
Right.
You're justified with God. That's how you get make peace with God, is by being saved, justified by His grace, by His blood, and you make peace with God. Now, He gives you peace in Him, but you get peace with God when you're reconciled and everything is taken care of with Christ. The only way to be reconciled with God is through Jesus Christ. And God won't even talk to you unless it's through Christ. For there is but one mediator between God and man, that's the man, Christ Jesus. There's only one go-between. And when I'm a sinner, I can't talk to God because I'm a sinner. And God will not fool with the sin. So Christ becomes my mediator. That I go through Christ. And Christ reconciles me to God. I don't reconcile myself to God. Christ reconciles me to God. I receive Christ and He reconciles me to God. Do I understand that? I don't merit it. I come to Christ. Christ does the work with us. That's why I've said many times that salvation ain't between me and God. It's between Christ and God. They the ones that have the plan. I receive Christ. Christ reconciles me to the Father. Everybody understand? So all the glory comes to the mediator. For there's but one mediator between God and me, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. We okay? Talk to me if you understand that. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now when we think about sealed, we got to think about transactions. We got to think about the business end of things as well. All right? The seal of the king, finished, not to be opened. There's all kinds of things you can relate it to. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is what? Which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So, see, we're bought with a price. All right, everybody, now you got to hang with me, read all this together. Now, look at 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 19. And you'll say, well, this verse don't go together. Well, yeah, it does. It says, nevertheless, 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth what?
Sure.
All right, sure. True, not going to change, steadfast, solid, having what?
Seal.
This seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His.
Yeah.
All right. We're sealed. He knows who belongs to Him.
Yeah.
All right. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. All right? Now this is Christ in us. All right? Everybody look at me tonight. You are not eternally secure because of your works. You're not saved according to your works. You're not kept according to your works. For it's all by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise because God comes inside of the believer. The Holy Spirit is God. He comes inside of the believer. All right, that's what makes me eternally saved, is that He is in me and I am in Him. Are you still with me? All right, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Sealed, I'm safe, I'm sure, I'm secure, I'm kept. We read it there a while ago in 1 Peter. To inherit incorruptible, undefiled, the faith not away, reserved in heaven. The next verse then says, who are kept by the power of God and the faith and the salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1. Are we okay? We still okay? Talk to me.
Yes,
sir. All right. Now, let's go back to John 17. We're going to have to finish up here. I'm not apologizing for taking longer. See, you just can't say a verse and go on. You just can't do it. Now listen, you say, well, what does this mean? Look at John 17. Let's just start at verse 3. Well, let's just start at verse 1. It said, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, thy hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. There's that perseverance, Brother Rick. He's finished the work. When he went to Calvary, there was nothing else to be done. He even cried out at Calvary, "It is finished." Let's look at it. John 19. John 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." Yeah. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, everybody look at me. If you've got to do anything else, then it's not finished. Right. You understand that?
Yeah.
If you've got to do anything to stay saved, then it ain't finished. If you've got to do anything else to save you, it's not finished. If you've got the work to be saved, then it's not finished. But he said it's finished. Does everybody follow me? It's not in us. It's in him. Well, I reckon we're going to have to start next Wednesday. Still in chapter 1.